The Military Exchange Talk Show is a faith-based organization that attends to veterans' spiritual needs in areas of veteran health and wellness. We will talk candidly about veteran issues and how they relate to God's Word. This is your show to speak what's on your hearts and minds. I'm only here to facilitate truth and logic to my brothers and sisters who are on active duty, reserves, and veterans that have served this great country by putting themselves at risk on the front lines of freedom. So join me in a new way of thinking and healing and advocating for our men and women who need you, the veteran, even more today to be leaders in your own communities, to be godly parents, skillful workers, to be an example of citizenry with morals and ethos, and a true and loyal friend to the military veteran. Welcome to the Military Exchange Talk Show, and I'm your host, Corporal Tim Thornton. Attack on POW MIA religious symbol is cruel. We have that story. And later, we have what God says about the attack on His Word. Pentagon and CIA militias portray a chaotic U.S. foreign policy. The Pentagon has a gang, and the CIA has a gang, and we're funding both of them, and they're fighting each other. That story. Kevlar or plastic? New armor lighter provides same protection. Lighter weight means a gender-friendly military. Welcome to the Military Exchange Talk Show, and I'm your host, Corporal Tim Thornton, and I have a special announcement out there. If your name is Richard Bedard and the word topsail means something to you, we're trying to locate you here at the Military Exchange Talk Show. If you know Richard Bedard, ask him if he knows what topsail is, and then ask him to call the store, the Military Exchange, 585-394-2960. So if you haven't looked outside your window and seen that there's still snowflakes, well, it's just about springtime. I know, I smell the skunks, and that's our sign in New York that it's springtime. We don't have groundhogs, we have skunks. If you live in Rochester area, upstate New York, we have our own fashion statement. And the Military Exchange would like to help you continue that. Rochesterians, upstate New York people, love to wear hoodies the same time they wear shorts. Who has hoodies and who has shorts? We do at the Military Exchange. Military hoodies and military cargo shorts. Look like a Rochesterian. Look like upstate New York. We got it for you, the Military Exchange. And before I forget, we'd like to thank everybody in the Buffalo area for the past 2 years listening to our radio show. We are going to leave. We did try to stay on a little longer. We've announced this before, but this time, it's time to leave. We thank the people at WKBW, and we thank everyone that has listened and been a loyal listener. You can still pick us up on TuneIn, the Team 105.5. on your cell phone or podcast, themilitaryexchange.com.
Honey, how many times do I have to move your old army bag? It's taking up too much room in the closet.
It's a duffel bag. It's full of my old uniforms.
And are you going to wear them again?
Yeah, maybe. Someday.
Uh-huh. And what size do you wear now?
Whatever.
Honey, why don't you take them to Military Mike's? You're certainly there enough.
It's Iron Mike's, and at least he doesn't make comments about my weight.
Bring your old military gear down to Iron Mike's Military Exchange. They'll turn your old uniforms, gear, and military collectibles into cash. So if you drug it back from overseas and it doesn't fit your motif, we want it. Iron Mike's wants your Class A's, Alphas, Hammies, Fatigues, Utilities, Digis. We want your Deuce gear, Molly gear, Alice gear, Web gear. Bring in your Poly Pros, new boots, used boots. Heck, if it's green, camouflaged, or digital, we want it. Give it a good home. Use pre-enjoyed. Iron Mike's has a bin for it. Iron Mike's buys, sells, and trades. Iron Mike's Military Exchange, located in Canandaigua, New York. Check out all their newly acquired items at militaryexchange.co.
Iron Mike's Military Exchange. Iron Mike's is located in Canandaigua, New York. The Military Exchange is locked and loaded with military gear and merchandise currently being used by our armed forces. The Military Exchange is an excellent source for all your hunting, camping, and outdoor needs. Iron Mike's is proud to stock items for our active and reserve military personnel, Boy Scouts, Civil Air Patrol, Sea Cadets, Airsoft, campers, backpackers, and survivalists. Iron Mike's Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Check them out online at ironmikes.co.
Welcome back to the Military Exchange. I'm your host, Corporal Tim Thornton. attack on POW MIA religious symbol is cruel. In case you didn't know, it's not pronounced Pau Mia, it's prisoner of war missing in action. During this presidential primary season, many candidates have proclaimed their intent to fix our ailing Department of Veterans Affairs. A good place to start is allowing it to honor and remember our nation's prisoners of war missing in action, POW MIA. Since the Vietnam War, the military has maintained the sacred tradition of setting a separate table in its dining facilities to honor POWs MIAs. The table is decorated with several items, each carrying symbolic meaning used to help remember those who were captured or declared missing. Traditionally, one of those items is a Bible, which, according to the National League of Prisoner of War Missing in Action Families, represents the strength gained through faith to sustain those lost from our country. Founded as one nation under God, but now the POW MIA Remembrance Table is a target of heartless anti-religion hysteria. Next.
When you hear the phrase, boots on the ground, that phrase means our men and women that are in the American Armed Forces. And that means they're ready to fight. They wear the very best gear America has to offer. I'm talking the very best in leather, Gore-Tex, Finsulate, three-layer Vibram soles, Nomex, side zippers, and stitching. Quality that the civilian market can't even come close to offering. When you say quality, you want U.S. government issue. Iron Mike's is the leading distributor for military government contractors. They offer jump boots, Mickey boots, jungle boots, SWAT boots, sniper boots, steel toe, Navy deck boots, and Marine Corps and Army desert boots. Corafram low quarter shoes, mucklucks, extreme cold weather, and lightweight tactical boots in 6, 8, and 10 inches. Iron Mike's takes trade-ins of all your old military boots. Iron Mike's is located at 2485 State Route 332 in Canandaigua. Check us out online at ironmikes.co.
I came home on leave and everybody wants me to wear my uniform, but I'm missing my medals and I don't know where to go.
Iron Mike's has a PX inside.
The seatbelt ate my ribbons.
Iron Mike's has a PX inside.
I deploy in one day and the mail order place didn't get me my boots.
Iron Mike's has a PX inside.
My unit wants me to do an inspection when?
Iron Mike's has a PX.
We know! Iron Mike's has a PX inside.
Ribbons, unit patches, medals, shooting badges, rank and insignia, boots, socks, accus, even boot bands. Iron Mike's can even custom order dress hats and hard-to-find uniform pieces. Iron Mike's Military Exchange, located in Canandaigua and online at ironmikes.co.
Latest attack on POW MIA religious symbol is cruel. Since the Vietnam War, the military has maintained the sacred tradition of setting a separate table in its dining facilities to honor POW MIAs. The table is decorated with several items, each carrying symbolic meaning used to help remember those who were captured or declared missing. Traditionally, one of those items is a Bible, which, according to the National League of POW MIA Families, represents the strength gained through faith to sustain those lost from our country. Founded as one nation under God, but now the POW MIA Remembrance Table is a target of heartless anti-religion hysteria. Michael Mikey Weinstein, founder and president of the deceptively named Military Religious Freedom Foundation, MRFF, demanded in Akron, Ohio, Virginia, an Akron, Ohio VA clinic, remove the Bible from its POW MIA remembrance table. This isn't the first time the MRFF has targeted a symbol of faith for our nation's POWs and MIAs. In 2014, it attacked remembrance tables in the Air Force and Navy. Weinstein's declares that the Bible inclusion on the remembrance table loathsome message and a disgustingly bigoted statement that is an absolute disgrace, an unbridled slap in the face of all the men and women in uniform. He claims that the symbol of faith will eviscerate good order, morale, unit cohesion, and discipline in our military. Only someone with a burning animus toward this traditional symbol of comfort and faith could make such wild, hurtful, and unfounded claims. It would be laughable, except that the U.S. military has too often capitulated to bullies like Weinstein. He successfully harassed Patrick Air Force Base into suspending use of the traditional Remembrance Table decoration, just as he attempted to intimidate the Pentagon to curtail certain National Day of Prayer activities. But consider, if what Weinstein says is true, then wouldn't a diverse chorus of American POWs join his cacophony? Instead, we find just the opposite. American POWs frequently cited faith in God as a source of comfort and strength during their captivity. U.S. Air Force Captain Lance Sajan, who received the Medal of Honor for his selflessness and courage while in enemy captivity, helped devise the famed tap code, by which American POWs were able to encourage each other each night. They tapped GNGBU, which meant good night, God bless you. U.S. Navy Rear Admiral Jeremiah Denton, who later became a U.S. Senator, was a POW who famously blinked the word torture in Morse code during a forced television interview with his North Vietnamese captors. Admiral Denton recounted, "A man does a lot of praying in an enemy prison. Prayer, even more than sheer thought, is the firmest anchor." U.S. Air Force Brigadier General James Robbie Risner, who became an ace fighter pilot during the Korean War, was the highest-ranking officer in the famous Hanau Hilton POW camp. During captivity, General Risner would brief newly arrived POWs on how to survive, exhorting them, "Pray. If you haven't been, start." General Risner also organized rudimentary church services and required POWs to attend. Years later, General Risner revealed during an interview that his survival was due to his faith in God and love of country. So much for Weinstein's accusations that the Bible hurts morale and discipline. The ones hurting morale are the anti-religious cynics. Weinstein's remarks are the real, unbridled slap in the face to men like Captain Sajan, Admiral Denton, and General Risner. In fact, under Weinstein's grand vision, General Risner would not have a statue on the hallowed grounds of the Air Force Academy, but rather a court-martial conviction requiring troops to attend church. Weinstein has stated that he wants 400 trials by general court-martial of Christian officers who express their faith to others. The Remembrance Table and similar religious expressions are permitted by the law, military code, and court precedent. Allowing today's service members to continue this tradition serves to honor the memory of America's POWs, MIAs. More importantly, it enables them to freely and openly exercise their religious beliefs as an essential component of our military's ability to fight, survive, and win. Simply put, religious freedom in the military is vital to our national security. And for those whose loved ones are missing, religious freedom gives comfort, compassion, and hope. Woe to anyone who would try to remove these or tarnish the memory of those who served. Mike Berry. This article is written by Mike Berry, a former judge advocate in the U.S. Marines, serves as Director of Military Affairs for First Liberty Institute, a legal organization dedicated to defending religious freedom for all Americans. Welcome back to the Military Exchange. I'm your host, Corporal Tim Thornton. Pentagon and CIA militias portray a chaotic U.S. foreign policy. If you think the cross currents of the U.S. presidential election constitute societal madness and national decline, revelations about actual fighting between the CIA and the Pentagon through their proxies in war-torn Syria raise more concern about U.S. foreign policy, enough at least to rate comparison with Donald Trump's suggestions that the NATO alliance is obsolete or nuclear proliferation should be considered by allies such as the Japanese and South Koreans. Want to talk crazy? Both the Pentagon and CIA support separate militias. Problem, these well-armed, well-financed militias are fighting each other on the desolate plains between the besieged city of Aleppo and the Turkish border. All this highlights a lack of vision and leadership over implementation of the proper foreign policy strategy regarding Syria. The fighting accents how little control U.S. intelligence has over various groups financed through taxpayer money and armed through our government, at least in this stretch of the Middle East, and you thought the Russians introduced chaos to this region. Next. Old Glory, Stars and Stripes, Red, White, and Blue, the A flag, the American flag, the flag that is flown above every rooftop to guide on, battleships, camps, forts, and fops. The American flag bears the crimson color of blood that has kept our flag as pure as the white bars that flank the blue field of honor. The Military Exchange is proud to present Valley Forge American-made flags. 100% American-made, real issue. We sell flags by the military branch, unit, or division. Army, Air Force, Navy, Coast Guard, National Guard, Marine Corps. We sell flag poles, mounts, and display cases. Show your pride. Display your branch proudly with a flag from Valley Forge. The Gadsden, Don't Tread on Me flag and decals. Perfect for the conservative New Yorker. Join the military culture that is the Military Exchange. Located in Canandaigua, New York. Check out our weekly video broadcast of our radio show at IronMikesMX.com. Fighting between the Pentagon and CIA-backed militias portrays a chaotic U.S. foreign policy. If you think the cross-currents of the U.S. presidential election constitute societal madness and national decline, revelations about actual fighting between the CIA and the Pentagon through their proxies in war-torn Syria raise more concerns about U.S. foreign policy, enough at least to rate comparison with Donald Trump's suggestions that the NATO alliance is obsolete or nuclear proliferation should be considered by allies such as Japanese and South Koreans. Want to talk crazy? Both the Pentagon and CIA support separate militias. Problem? These well-armed, well-financed militias are fighting each other on the desolate plains between the besieged city of Aleppo and the Turkish border. All this highlights a lack of vision and leadership over implementation of the proper foreign policy strategy regarding Syria. The fighting accents how little control U.S. intelligence has over various groups financed through taxpayer money and armed through our government, at least in this stretch of the Middle East. And you thought the Russians introduced chaos to this region? The CIA armed militia, dubbed Fersan al-Haj, which translates as Knights of Righteousness, operates out of the town of Maria, about 20 miles north of Aleppo. The Pentagon, on the other hand, backs the Syrian Democratic Forces moving in from Kurdish-controlled areas to the east. And one wonders why American foreign policy is seen as stagnant, stubborn, and reactionary. Add to this volatile mix Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and Turkey's ongoing funding and arming of different rebel groups with wildly different agendas, yet fighting between two groups armed and financed by the United States, the CIA and the Pentagon, a new phenomenon, and our own bid for international insanity. It's sure evidence of the need for a major overhaul of U.S. foreign policy strategy, and not only involving Syria, but the region at large. This disturbing news comes in the wake of the Obama administration's recent effort to restart and reauthorize the Pentagon to train rebel fighters following the United States' disastrous, short-lived, multi-million-dollar training program last October. The program's failure saw recruits ultimately handing over their U.S.-issued weapons and other materials to members of the terrorist group Al-Nusra, an Al-Qaeda offshoot. Some of our recruits even turned out to be members of Al-Nusra, so much for a systematic vetting process. Let us now review the scorecard and players. As stated earlier, the CIA supports the Knights of Righteousness group. One can almost imagine a group so named right here in America, though involved in different sorts of mischief. The Pentagon supports the Syrian Democratic Forces. The latter group is problematic because a majority of its members are Kurdish. they viewed by some as an invading force. They could not come at a worse time for Turkey, given already simmering tensions over U.S. backing of Kurdish armed forces. The last thing Turkey wants is any armed Kurdish elements near or in control of its southern border. Such dynamics also threaten to put the CIA in the limelight, not really a preferred prospect for an intelligence agency that favors the shadows. The agency is arming its rebel groups with sophisticated weapons, including TOW anti-tank missiles, stored by our increasingly mercurial ally, the Saudis. And thus, history threatens to come full circle. Didn't the agency arm the Taliban back in the 1980s in similar fashion? We saw how all of that worked out. In the past, struggles for dominance and strategy between U.S. intelligence and the Pentagon, played out within the confines of the Beltway, in cocktail parties and congressional hearings, and high-level closed-door meetings. Not anymore. The ideological collision, once limited to brainy ideas, arguments, and different opinions, is exploding in an arena with combustible and deadly consequences through guns and proxies, setting a dangerous precedent at a time when some of our presidential candidates all too readily reflect the American public's tragic ignorance of foreign affairs. But then our foreign policy is a mess. The United States is supporting Shia Muslims in Iraq while backing their archenemy, Sunni Muslims. In neighboring Syria, no wonder so many are confused. It's hard enough for Americans to understand how sects of the same basic faith can be bitter enemies. By its actions, our government only makes a deeper muddle of any simple understanding of the problems. If the United States wants to defeat ISIS, which now controls much of Syria, betting entirely on the Kurds to do most of the fighting is a questionable strategy, given that the Kurds do not represent the majority of the Syrian population. The United States needs Sunnis of all stripes to take part in the fighting. And to that end, cool heads at the Pentagon and CIA need to step back, reevaluate conflicting strategies, and find real international consensus for everyone's sake. Kevlar or plastic, new armor lighter provides same protection. Lightweight plastic body armor will replace Kevlar-based protective equipment used by troops in 2019. The new torso and extremities protection system, which has been undergoing field testing at bases across the U.S., weighs about 23 pounds, 25% lighter than gear worn today, said Lieutenant Colonel Kathy Brown, a program manager for soldier protection and individual equipment at Program Executive Office Soldier. "We are looking at further developing the system," she said. "We think we can lose more weight." It's unclear exactly how much the new gear will cost. However, Brown said it will be cheaper than the current equipment and offer the same level of protection. The new armor is designed to offer maximum flexibility and mobility, she said. It can be scaled up or down depending on the mission, so troops working in less risky environments can wear less cumbersome gear, said Doug Graham, PEO soldier spokesman. That story next. Clerico, can I get a drink? Sumatra, pull down the shades. Duro, lock the door. We're gonna party. Can you hear me? How long I've been up? Welcome, enlisted and officers, WMs and Devil Dogs. I'm Corporal Tim Thornton, your host for tonight. This is the DD214 and Laurel Cigar Lounge. Fresh from the Dominican Republic, Hickory Motto Cigars, here at the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Smoking lamp is out. Thank you. Welcome back to the Military Exchange Talk Show. Kevlar or plastic new armor lighter provides same protection. Lightweight plastic body armor will replace Kevlar-based protective equipment used by U.S. troops in 2019. The new torso and extremities protective system, which has been undergoing field testing at bases across the U.S., weighs about 23 pounds, 25% lighter than gear worn today, said Lieutenant Colonel Kathy Brown, a program manager for soldier protection and individual equipment at Program Executive Office Soldier. "We are looking at further developing the system," she said. "We think we can lose more weight. It's unclear exactly how much the new gear will cost. However, Brown said it will be cheaper than the current equipment and offer the same level of protection. "We are looking at further developing the system," she said. "We think we can lose more weight. It's unclear exactly how much the new gear will cost. However, Brown said it will be cheaper than the current equipment and offer the same level of protection. The new armor is designed to offer maximum flexibility and mobility," she said. "It can be scaled up or down depending on the mission, so troops working in less risky environments can wear less cumbersome gear," said Doug Graham, PEO soldier spokesman. "You can look at your mission and wear as much as you need," he said. "That will allow you to adjust the weight you are carrying to fit what you will be doing. The lower risk missions, troops can wear a ballistic combat shirt, which protects the upper back, chest, neck, and arms under their jackets," he said. "If a threat increases, they can add more protection, such as ceramic plates and a tactical carrier." Over the past 2 years, hundreds of troops from U.S.-based Army and Marine Corps units have been giving their feedback after field testing the new gear, Brown said. PEO Soldier did not provide Stars and Stripes access to those who tested the gear, but Brown said feedback has been positive. For example, 95% of soldiers who wear the ballistic combat shirt rated highly, she said. "The key to reducing body armor weight has been changing soft materials from Kevlar to polyethylene, a type of plastic. The Army is also developing polyethylene helmets to replace the Kevlar versions," Brown said. "Vendors have also dropped the weight of ceramic plates in the body armor by altering their manufacturing technique. Lighter body armor will help troops avoid injuries caused by heavy loads, although it's unclear how much more gear troops will carry in the future," Brown said. "The Army is constantly trying to make soldiers' loads lighter," she said. "The Army is assessing exactly what type of equipment troops need for particular missions with a view of minimizing the weight they have to carry," she said. "The unisex body armor's design also takes into account earlier efforts to make items comfortable to the female form," Brown said. "We tried to make sure our equipment was all-encompassing," she said. "Now we have a system that encompasses both male and female soldiers." See, now that would be interesting, I gotta say, Corporal Tim Thorne, because I do remember in the past one of the complaints from female soldiers having to wear combat body armor and gear is that it doesn't fit their body. Let's face it, they're built different. They have curves and different proportions than men do. So it would leave gaps in the armor if it fit them the right way, which it doesn't. So in turn, how do you make this gear fit the female body but also fit the male body? Maybe it's just a matter of more Velcro and more straps, but the point of body armor is to be tight and so nothing gets in. You could almost tell the article was going to go to the way of unisex, and that was the purpose behind it all. And maybe now you kind of can see when Washington says you are going to have females in the combat MOSs, and we as former grunts know just how much weight you have to carry for a combat load. And in the back of my mind, I've always been thinking, just have your tech guys make it a little bit lighter for the women. Sleeping bag could be lighter. The pack could be lighter. Obviously now the Kevlar, which isn't plastic, vest can be lighter. And therefore now they're really not carrying the same load as the men. But then I guess, why would you screw the guys and make them carry the old stuff? So as obviously you've done the math, if the new guys, the men, get the new stuff and the women get the new stuff, we're still going to have a problem with the weight. Maybe the weight's okay for the women, but the men are going to march and run that much faster, still leaving their female counterpart at a disadvantage. But don't worry, because Corporal Tim Thornton in the Marine Corps, and really it's the Marine Corps, came up with a solution. A platoon or a company of only women. Women carry women. Women have the gear that they can carry, that they can go out into the combat. Put them with assault, helo assault companies. And you've pretty much gotten rid of 70% of your problems. The rest of it, I got to be honest with you, it's terrible to tell you this, but I read this. Everybody talks about the female anatomy and that once a month visitor. And oh, how in the world can they be out there? The enemy will, you know what? They can control that. And the hygiene part, no different than a guy who's uncircumcised. So get rid of that old argument. It's just old and disgusting. It will, that can cure itself. Corporal Tim Thornton, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Introducing now, in the corner of Case's Mini Storage Plaza, wearing camouflage, boxers, and smoking a cigar, hailing from Canandaigua, New York, Corporal Tim Thornton's the all-new The Military Exchange. The Military Exchange is proud to present over 5,000 feet of pure 100% military. The Military Exchange is your source for all your military needs and proudly supports active reserve and former military, VFWs, legions, and leagues, Boy Scouts, Sea Cadets, Civil Air Patrol, and your family. Presenting cigars fresh from our plantation in the Dominica, collectibles, t-shirts, hoodies, and ball caps, rank and insignia uniforms for parade, security, and law enforcement, camouflage clothing, outerwear, wool pants, parkas, and field jackets, camping backpacks, tents, and sleep systems, vintage clothing and gear, Class A's, past and present, tactical and survival gear, antiques and airsoft, brand new and pre-enjoyed military camouflage and boots. Check out our military talk show at IronMikesMX.com. 5,000 feet to pure 100% military in Canandaigua, New York.
Secret Agent Man, Secret Agent Man. They're giving you a number and taking away your name.
Welcome back to the Military Exchange. I'm your host, Corporal Tim Thornton. You know, I hate when someone puts one over on me. And when I first read this story, I was, something about it seemed a little, but you know what? In the effort to be a universal soldier, a world type of camaraderie with other Marines, I want to believe, you know, that there's these heroes out there in other countries and other militaries. And then my new inside source. So everybody on Facebook heard and probably passed it on, like good vets that we are, Russia's viral hero story, almost certainly Kremlin propaganda. I'm sorry, me, the guy who went to counterterrorism school. You'd think I'd learn. You've probably heard about the Russian special operations troop recently killed in Syria. As the story goes, he was alone, low on ammo, and surrounded by Daesh attackers. He called in an airstrike on his own position, martyring himself to kill the enemy hordes, converging on his position. Probably already seen Jack Murphy's scathing deconstruction of this narrative. Unfortunately, that piece wasn't the final nail in this absurd coffin. No, the story continues. Russian psychological warfare operatives are astute, as Murphy observed. It doesn't matter if informed consumers see the propaganda for what it is. What matters is that their audiences do not. Undoubtedly, this story has created a swelling of national pride among Russians, and good for them. The problem is that Russian propaganda continues to gain unfathomable traction here in the West, although Moscow is pushing the narrative through Kremlin mouthpieces like Russia Today and Pravda. British tabloids were more than eager to spread the message, despite enormous causes for skepticism. Even mainstream sources like the Washington Post began including this tale in reports on Syria. It is an old media that the primary vector for delivery, though. Russian propagandists don't have to engage in traditional underhanded methods to slip their stories into journals of records anymore. The internet provides delivery platforms that are faster, have deeper penetration, and take almost no effort to compromise. The story has spread like wildfire across social media, from Reddit to Twitter, shepherded along by Russia's web brigades or internet trolls. The story has tens of thousands of likes, upvotes, comments, and shares across multiple sites in what continues to be an amazing 21st century information coup. Even stalwart and patriotic U.S. veteran pages are eagerly promoting Russian propaganda. Think about the brilliance of that for a moment. Murphy's aforementioned article focused on challenging the narrative based on factual aspects of the story. For example, if the Russian was killed in an airstrike, how did Daesh recover the Russian's pristine and dust-free gear? In analyzing organizational deception and disinformation, finding contradictory facts is extremely important. We will also explore some of the more murky areas of deception analysis. We do find ourselves naturally pulled into a compelling story arc. Do we see melodrama that targets us emotionally the way Hollywood might? Let's take a look. Early reports were stating that a GRU, Russian military intelligence operative, Denis Tukhmanov, seen above right in the striped shirt, was the soldier killed. Within days, that identity was changed to a young officer, Lieutenant Alexander Prohoranko, above left, in white. Different images were provided for both individuals. Clearly, we are talking about two different people. Regardless of the Kremlin's intention, this story is, without a doubt, colored by deception. Now take a moment and examine the story as told by the Daily Mail, complete with compelling family pictures of the young lieutenant. Army WTF Moments, a hugely popular social media presence for the veteran community, tells the tale as follows. The Russian JTAC officer that died in Syria on March 19th, reportedly ordering an airstrike on himself to take as many enemy fighters with him and not be captured alive, has been identified as Lieutenant Alexander Prokhorenko, 25, of the village of Gorodki in the Orenburg region of Russia. He was a husband to his wife, Katya, and a father to a child not yet born. Lieutenant Prokhorenko could have been our enemy yesterday or tomorrow, but as soldiers, we respect the valor he displayed as a soldier himself on the battlefield and will raise a drink tonight in his honor. Below in the comments in his transcript of his last radio call, as it was posted on the pro-Kremlin semi-official website, Pravda.ru, Prohorenko, command, I am compromised. I repeat, I am compromised. Command, please say again and confirm. Prohorenko, they have spotted me. They are shooting everywhere. I am pinned, requesting immediate extraction. Command, extraction request acknowledged. Prohorenko, please hurry. I am low on ammo. They seem to be everywhere. I can't hold them for too long. Please hurry. Command, confirmed. Hold them off. Continue returning fire. Retreat to a safe position. Air support is monitoring. State your coordinates. Prohorenko gives coordinates which are blurred in the transcript. Command. Command repeats coordinates which are blurred. Confirm. Prohorenko. Confirm. Please hurry. I am low on ammo. They are surrounding me. Bastards. Command. ETA on evacuation. 12 minutes. Return to the green line. I repeat. Return to the green line. Prohorenko. They are close. I am surrounded. This may be the end. Tell my family I love them dearly. Command. Return to the green line. Continue returning fire. Help is on the way, followed by air support. Prohorenko, negative. I am surrounded. They are so many of these bastards. Command, extract. ETA, 10 minutes. Return to the green line. Prohorenko, I can't. They have surrounded me and are closing in. Please hurry. Notice I changed my accent. Command, return to the green line. I repeat, return to the green line. Prohorenko, They are outside. Conduct the airstrike now. Please, hurry. This is the end. Tell my family I love them, and I died fighting for my motherland. Command, negative. Return to the green line. Perenko, unable to command. I am surrounded. They are outside. I don't want them to take me and parade me. Conduct the airstrike. They will make a mockery of me and this uniform. I want to die with dignity and take all those bastards with me. Please, my last wish. Conduct airstrike. They will kill me either way. Command, please confirm your request. Perenko. Boy, you know what? I think it's been 12 minutes by now, Corporal Tim Thorne. I think they could have got to him. They are outside. This is the end, Commander. Thank you. Tell my family and my country I love them. Tell them I was brave and I fought until I could no longer. Please take care of my family. Avenge my death. Goodbye, Commander. Tell my family I love them. Command, no response, orders the airstrike. If you've clicked on the hyperlinks and explored the story as it's being presented, you're probably thinking to yourself, this could be right out of a movie. Well, you'd be right. Real life very rarely follows a narrative story arc. Analyzing the material skeptically, we've already established that someone, somewhere, was engaged in disinformation regarding the identity of the soldier. With Lieutenant Perenko, Western media was given a wealth of personal and persuasive information about the subject's life, marriage, and even his wife, mother to his unborn child. Our heartstrings are so predictably plucked. Russian reports having lost 7 soldiers in Syria, this is the only instance where information was made public without weeks of delay. It is the only time that any personal information at all has been released about the deceased, much less in such intimate and private details. Looking at those details, another unlikely aspect emerges. Perenko is identified as a lieutenant, not even a senior lieutenant, which, like in the U.S. Army, is a very junior grade of officer. Perenko is essentially fresh out of his commissioning. Are we to believe that in Russia, a newly minted officer can train and qualify into the Spetsnaz and then be assigned a solo rescue mission to call in airstrikes? Really? Reading through the transcript gives us additional grammatical and semantic clues regarding the veracity of the story. First, you'll notice the extensive use of polite communication. Now, there are those who argue that Russia is a very polite language and others who argue it is not. This disagreement largely has to do with the distinction between formality and politeness. While not an absolute, it would be safe to presume that when facing certain death and communicating via radio, Russians, like Americans, aren't likely to express repetitive use of the words please or thank you. You know, when we're done with this, I'm going to read you an email that I got today, Corporal Tim Thornton, Military Exchange, from a Russian business. And I thought it was interesting how they have they just say it and that's it. There's no politeness. And they want my business. Inappropriate politeness is an indicator of deception. As we get to the end of the transcript, could Perenko's last 2 transmissions have been more evocative, more patriotic, more heroic? If they were carefully scripted, not likely. When under fire, verbose eloquence and respectful goodbyes to your family, not to mention your commander, who happens to actually be receiving your airstrike request, are not easily produced. It is Russian protocol to remain dramatically silent in the case of a danger close airstrike, conveniently leaving the story's protagonist with the last heroic words. Maybe, if they are anything like every other military in the world, they communicate when a fire mission is out. There are simply too many markers of deception in this narrative to accept it without skepticism. We have elements that are unrealistic, elements that contradict each other, and elements that are very unlikely. We have a compelling and persuasive story arc, an artifact of good fiction. We have divisions. We have deviations from organizational response baselines. We have individual markers of deception and scripting in the transcript. We can say with near absolute certainty that not only is this story Russian propaganda, but that it is riddled with significant markers of deception and disinformation. So Americans, especially veterans and service members, please stop making the jobs of Russian psychological warfare operatives so easy. Okay, so now, as promised, I'm going to read you this email. So this is the email that I got. Super sale of Russian camouflage. And then to the left, very Russian-looking writing, which I have a lot of boxes with Russian on it. So then it just plainly states Russian camouflage and items from military warehouses. And it gives the names. And the money is always, instead of a dot, like 1999, it's 19,99. Very Russian. I believe the email itself is real. So I'm curious about the product. And I email them back, and because they were had said actually nothing, not how to get a hold of them, no warehouses, no website, no real address. I wrote back, I'm interested, please tell me more. So then I got an email. What information do you need? I said. I didn't say anything, so they wrote me back again. Jackets, all sizes available, quantities, 8,000 pieces. Anyways. The rest about the quantity, not really telling me any more than I already knew. Thanks, Alex. Now, I've done business with the Russians before, and here's the problem. Today, you're dealing with Alex. Tomorrow, you call up and you say, hey, can I get some more of them cool jackets? This is, you know, Tim from Iron Mike's. Is Alex there? Alex? I know no Alex. I'm Dimitri. I can help you. But what happened to Alex? I don't know. I don't know no Alex. I'm Dimitri. This is my shop. How can I help you? I swear the conversation went like that. And 6 months later, hey, can I get a hold of Dimitri? I want to order some more jackets. Who's this Dimitri? I don't know him. What are you stacking the bodies up out back? What? I love my foreign brothers in arms. I really do. I do have respect for our enemy. And yeah, I still consider Russia our enemy. I grew up in the Cold War. I even have a Cold War medal. It's not official, but I got one. That's another thing. But I grew up with this whole Cold War mentality. I have a hard time graduating towards trusting our neighbors. Like Russians. East Germans. I know, Tim, there's no more East Germans. In saying that, I've had a lot of good Russian customers. We've also, as you've heard me talk about, we've had the Czechoslovakians in here. And there's a lot of their families that come in to get gear to provide their families who are fighting or defending against the possible Russian invasion. Czechoslovakia and Yugoslavia. Well, Czechoslovakia. They come in. I talk to them. I'm not a geographic wizard. Sometimes I have to look things up on the map. Hope you enjoy that little spot about Russian. And, you know, don't ask any Russians for directions. Directions? You follow me. I'll go down there. I'll show you. Oh, no. No, I'd rather be lost. Good morning, America, and all the ships at sea. This is Corporal Tim Thorne from the Military Exchange Talk Show. Have you ever wanted to voice your opinion on today's issues? Veterans and patriots, do you have something to say? Well, I'm the facilitator, and it's your show. Call our live talk show every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. For details, go to themilitaryexchange.com. Weekends, check out our shows on this channel, 8 a.m. or 9 a.m. Sunday mornings from the Military Exchange Talk Show. And before I forget, we'd like to thank everybody in the Buffalo area for the past 2 years listening to our radio show. We are going to leave. We did try to stay on a little longer. We've announced this before, but this time it's time to leave. We thank the people at WKBW, and we thank everyone that has listened and been a loyal listener. You can still pick us up on TuneIn, the team, 105.5 on your cell phone. Or podcast, themilitaryexchange.com.
Kim Shaggy DeSheik Pet Spa, a natural choice in pet grooming, located at 1010 South Clinton Avenue in Rochester. Shaggy DeSheik Pet Spa is neatly nestled in the south wedge between the India House and Salvatore's Pizza. Kim Shaggy DeSheik Pet Spa, your premier full-service pet salon. Our courteous and professional staff has served pets in the Rochester area for the past 16 years. Come visit our salon and let us pamper your pet. Kim's Shaggy DeSheik Pet Spa is a full-service grooming salon dedicated to quality grooming grooming services in a low-stress environment using all-natural products. Kim is very knowledgeable and provides a warm, friendly grooming environment. Kim Shaggy Tashik Pet Spa offers many grooming services such as full-service bath, full-service haircut pedicures, nail filing, facials, flea bath, toothbrushing, shed-less packages, and specialty shampoos mini spa. Call for a free quote at 585-355-4761. Visit our website and Facebook page, Kim Shaggy Tashik Pet Spa.
My name is Tim Thornton. I'm a former corporal of the Marines, owner of the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. I want to talk to you about something that is damn important. 22 vets commit suicide daily by their own hands. That's 8,000 a year. That's two regiments that are gone forever. We as a nation are failing them. I don't have an ice bucket, and I'm not asking you to write a check. But what I am challenging you to do is to pick up a phone and call a combat vet. That voice, that friendly voice on the other end of the phone, might just change that tragic day forever. I'm going to make that call right now.
Hello?
Is this Steve?
Yeah. Corporal Tim, what's up?
Hey, Steve, what's going on?
Not much.
Hey, hang on a minute. I want to talk to you today. So if you're at home, pick up the phone, call a combat vet, show them you care. Hey, man, what are you up to?
Not much. Just hanging out. How you doing?
Good. I just thought I'd give you a call. Hello. I'm Corporal Tim Thornton, the owner of the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Over the past 20 years, I have personally searched out vintage clothing, uniforms, antiques. I like to collect all things military. I am just now willing to let go parts of my collection. We have a line of hand-picked vintage collectibles, World War I to present day. Vintage is a great way to give yourself a unique look. Ladies and gentlemen, add a little vintage to your wardrobe. What I like about vintage is the quality of material. Cotton, wool, leather, all at its very best. Different texture, design, and old school patterns that fit the way they should fit on a man or a woman. The Military Exchange is your home for vintage clothing and collectibles. For your viewing pleasure, please go to my website, IronMikesMX.com, and see our video and pictures of vintage collectibles. Springtime weather forecast. Rainy, gray skies with a slight chill in the a.m. Tactical to practical. Military rain gear on sale now at the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Camouflage rubber rain pants, USGI issue, only $19.99. Bug out bag, backpack, whistle, compass, match case, waterproof matches, headlamp, survival blanket, toilet bag, fuel, cook stove, water, poncho, canteen cup, tissue, toilet paper, and four main meals. Deck of cards, only $59.99. At the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. IronMikesMX.com.
Hoorah! Semper Fi, do or die, hold them high at eighth and I. Gunnery Sergeant Gnarly Ermey here.
The Military Exchange.
.com. What would we do without them? You better check it out. I'm not going to tell you about it. You just have to check it out for yourself. Hoorah, Semper Fi. Have a great day.
All right, now, here's the good book.
Aw, what do you want me to do with
that?
Come on,
Nate. Just don't be afraid of it there. It ain't a booby trap. It's only the Bible.
Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me home. Swing low, swing low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me home. I'm sometimes up and I'm sometimes down. Coming for to carry me home. But I know my soul is heavenly bound. Coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me
the word that no one can destroy. This is the chapel, and I'm your chaplain, Corporal Tim Thornton. It ranks as one of the wickedest acts of the Jewish king and has had many parallels, and the end result of them all is a failure to destroy the word of God. Here's the story. King Jehoiakim of Judah was listening as the words of a scroll were read to him, a scroll containing all the words God had ever given to the prophet Jeremiah. What did he do? Others hearing it earlier reacted with fear, and very appropriately too, because the scroll spoke in the plainest terms of the judgment of God was about to bring on the land for the people's grievous sins. Not King Jehoiakim. The king and all his attendants who heard all these words showed no fear, nor did they tear their clothes, Jeremiah 36:24. Nor was that the worst of it. The king was sitting in his winter apartment at the time with a fire burning in the fire pot in front of him. That fire pot was just the place, he thought, for a scroll like Jeremiah's. And that's exactly where he put it. A section at a time. It would have been bad enough if in his rage he had thrust the whole scroll into the fire at once, but he didn't. He took his time, cutting a bit off with a scribe's knife as every few columns were read to him and burning it piece by piece. His actions, however, were ultimately in vain. Had Jehoiakim had his way, he would have destroyed both the prophet and his scroll. In the event, he succeeded in destroying neither. For not only did the Lord hide Jeremiah, he gave him this instruction. Take another scroll and write on it all the words that were on the first scroll. And Jeremiah did so, enlarging it, we are told, with many similar words. We have in this event an early example of God's preservation of his word. The scroll that Jehoiakim burned was probably the first edition of what would eventually become the Old Testament book of Jeremiah. It was written at God's command and contained his own inspired word, and the king destroyed it, the only copy. But it was afterwards rewritten. God intended it should be preserved for the instructions of every succeeding generation to the end, and it has been. Readers of the book of Jeremiah today are looking at the very words King Jehoiakim burned long ago in his fire pot in vain. Over the centuries, various other attempts have been made to destroy God's word. Back in the 16th century, for example, a copy of William Tyndale's translation of the New Testament smuggled into Great Britain were seized and burned by order of the church. It was the history of King Jehoiakim repeating itself, God's word being consigned to the flames, but it survived. In later centuries, we have had another knife at work, the critic's knife, one part of the Bible after another cut out, as it were, because held to be inauthentic and untrue. But the Bible has continued to survive. God has gone on preserving his word. Every endeavor to destroy it has been defeated. We have in our hands today intact. See in this the high value God places on his word. His great enemy Satan has hated it. He has hated it being written, hated it being brought together, hated it being translated, printed, and sent to every part of the world. Hardly surprising that in all kinds of ways he has attempted its destruction, but he hasn't succeeded and nor shall he. To this very day, the Bible remains under attack. Even among evangelicals, the doctrines of its entire inspiration, inerrancy, is again being undetermined, is again being undermined. But God so values it that he will go on preserving it until its work on earth is done. How we should value it too. Let no one treat it with contempt. Let it often be in our hands. Let it be with open hearts that we come to its exposition. Let its truths guide our lives, and let its God and Savior be our God and Savior. Let us teach it to others, and let us pray for the light to shine in every dark corner of our world. You've been listening to the Military Exchange Talk Show. Iron Mike's Military Exchange on Route 332 in Canandaigua, New York. Listen to our podcast and watch our video show at the Military Exchange Talk Show on YouTube. And themilitaryexchange.com, our personal website. To contact Corporal Tim Thornton, send an email to themilitaryexchange@gmail.com.
Shalom. What are you crying for? Wasn't that bad?